Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's naturally green and hopefully green. We've had such dry weather. Other than I saw some people posted photos of a storm that went south of Rochester through part of the Finger Lakes. Not sure where they posted it from, but they got a lot of rain in a short period, but Rochester has had very little. And there is some in the forecast for, we'll see whether it actually shows up or not. Thunderstorms tomorrow and Monday. The problem with those thunderstorms is they don't always show up. So you may need to do some watering. Soak your garden with a hose. I was out trying several different sprinklers with our garden. We have sort of little areas of garden in the backyard. And if I use a sprinkler, I end up watering some big part of our sidewalk or driveway or something. So I kind of gave up on that. The soaker hoses don't really work because these gardens are separated by the driveway, sidewalk. And so I'm kind of stuck with hand watering. But the gardens are small enough that I can get a lot of water down in a pretty short period of time without having to stand there. If you have big gardens and lawns, you really need to have a sprinkler and give them a good soaking. Again, it may or may not arrive the next couple of days. And then after that, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, sunshine, cooler temperatures in the 70s, but lots and lots of sun on the way if we don't get these thunderstorms. It's been a big week for monarchs. What I'm fairly sure is the third generation has been hatching, and I've had a bunch of chrysalis emerge at 9 yesterday, and two have already emerged this morning, and several others are going to at some point. The chrysalis, it's kind of like the chrysalis turns black, but if you look closely, the day before they emerge, the chrysalis actually becomes translucent, and you're looking at the wings of the monarch, which folded up in the way that they're folded up are mainly black, but you can see some orange. And so that's how you know they're going to emerge the next day when they are black the night before. And so this is too early for them to fly to Mexico. That's a month away, a little over a month probably. So that's why I think these are the third generation monarchs that will be laying eggs for the ones to do the migration. So if they are the third generation, they don't also fly to Mexico. They will live for 4 or 6 weeks, and then it's just that fourth generation that can survive longer, months, many months, to fly to Mexico over winter and then start to fly back. It's somehow in this midst of a pandemic and a complete disaster in terms of our government is. Gives you hope to see a monarch emerge from a chrysalis like they have for. It's a good question. When did monarchs first show up? Certainly, thousands, tens of thousands of years ago, hundreds of thousands of years ago, maybe more. I got to look that up. I'm not sure when monarchs and other butterflies arrived, but it's been going on a long time, and that somehow is there's some consolation, some hope when you see those monarchs emerge. Someone posted a photo of a caterpillar on their fennel, and a colorful caterpillar, similar in looks to the monarch, but monarchs won't eat fennel. This is a black swallowtail that likes fennel and dill. There's some like parsley, so if you see those, they'll eat quite a bit, but they're not going to eat all of your dill or fennel or parsley, So let them go. And as I've said before, I think many of these, or at least the parsley swallowtail, that one overwinters as a chrysalis, because I kept one 1 year to see what would happen, and it emerged in May rather than this fall. So it looks like kind of a dead leaf. You'd have almost impossible to find one of these during the winter, the fall. I think it made the chrysalis in September. But you're used to, or I'm used to, a monarch chrysalis that is really colorful, a jewel, a work of art, gold dots and decoration on it. And really most chrysalis and those kinds of things are meant to blend in, and most of them look like dead leaves or are rolled up in dead leaves or very hard to find. Monarch is one of the few, I don't know of any others that produce a really colorful chrysalis that stands out. So keep your eyes open for some of these other caterpillars. Send me a photo if you see some and you're wondering what they are. Usually you can kind of tell what they are by what they're eating and up online. But sometimes they'll leave their host plant, like the monarch does. It leaves the milkweed and goes and makes its chrysalis elsewhere, which included several escapees in my office who made a chrysalis in a box that was open. And I caught some escapees climbing the door of my office, but these two I missed. And so I'm wondering how many other chrysalis are hidden around my office, and I'll have a monarch flying around at some point. Hopefully not, because I don't want to damage them trying to catch them. And but we'll see. I certainly had a fair number of escapees from my bin with the vinyl netting on top. So we may still be able to raise some monarchs this year. This third generation will be laying eggs, I would expect, and it's probably kind of similar around the area. I've had emails from a few people who said they haven't found any eggs, and it seemed like maybe there was a lull in between these generations, and now that this third generation has emerged, some point soon they'll probably be laying eggs. I'll let you know. If you find some, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. I had a few people pick up chrysalis from me last week. At this point, they'll be emerging in the next day or two, so I don't really have any more. But if you want some eggs and or caterpillars, assuming I find some for this fourth generation, then send me a note, michael@saverlife.com, and I'll do my best to get those to you. I don't have as much milkweed in my yard. As I said last week, I ended up cutting a lot of the milkweed that I have to feed these caterpillars. In general, a lot of them in my yard get eaten by spiders, and so the monarchs lay lots of eggs, not expecting that most of them will survive, because in my case, I brought them inside. So it's fun, and I'd love to encourage other people to get involved with it. One person that emailed me said that they had two girls that lived next door to them who were, I don't know, in early years of elementary school, and that they had been raising monarchs but hadn't found any this year. So she was excited to give them a couple of chrysalis, and she was going to watch a couple emerge. Again, it's a hopeful process to see this happen. A couple things. Burgeon Water Gardens, this is the time to go out and see their lotus. And they posted a photo this week of one of their micro lotus in a teacup. They have some very, very small lotus. And they have some giant ones, too, where the leaf might be the size of not dinner plate, but a large platter, maybe. So now's the time to go out and see those lotus in bloom. Hundreds and hundreds of lotus at Bergen Water Gardens. And it's between Bergen and Churchville on Buffalo Road. So pretty easy to get to. I go to Churchville exit off 490. And then you head west on Buffalo Road. And it's right there. They've got dozens and dozens of demonstration gardens with different varieties of lotus in them. Extraordinary, the size of these flowers, the colors, the different varieties. They have, I don't know, like 400 varieties of lotus. It's kind of insane. The largest collection of lotus outside of China is in our backyards. Larry and Lily who've developed this focus on lotus and doing an amazing job. They also have a lot of carnivorous plants. So Chris Clemens of Exploring Upstate posted a really good blog about this, exploringupstate.com. You can check out a bunch of photos of Bergen Water Gardens and really get a sense for how beautiful it is. They have fish, too. Koi and lots of koi. Maybe some goldfish, but mainly koi. It's a fun place to explore. Look them up online, bergenwatergardens.com, and follow them on Facebook. You can see some of the different varieties of lotus that they're featuring. But again, it's so close to us and so unique here in the United States. And again, the largest collection of lotus outside of China right here in our area. And it's maybe 20 minutes for me to get there from my house. Also, got a note from Broccolo Nursery and Garden Center. They are celebrating 30 years. They're going to do this on the 30th of August, so 2 weeks away. Sunday, August 30th, will be their 30th anniversary. And they're going to have food and drinks. There'll be music. Tours of their garden center, which is got a butterfly garden, butterfly house. It's got a lot of wildflowers, some areas, sort of native plants and things for you to see. And then they're also going to be raising money for the Finger Lakes Museum as part of their anniversary celebration. So pretty cool thing. The Finger Lakes Museum, Broccolo has done a fair amount of work with the landscaping around the kayak center that they put in at the Finger Lakes Museum. It's in Branchport on Keuka Lake, and it's a former elementary school which is being renovated, and that's an ongoing process. But the kayak center, which is an old barn that was moved to that space and put up by New Energy Works, timber framers, and it was an 1800s barn that they repurposed into the kayak center in back of the Finger Lakes Museum. And Broccolo's done some of the landscaping there, and I think through a number of connections, been interested in working with the museum for quite a few years. I know John Adamski, who passed away just a couple of weeks ago, was really the key person behind the founding of the museum, and also did design work and as architect for New Energy Works. And just one more great reason to raise money for Finger Lakes Museum. The the key people like John Adamski, who had this vision that the Finger Lakes really needed a cultural natural history museum, and it is in progress down in Branchport. So again, as part of their 30th anniversary celebration, they'll be raising money for the Finger Lakes Museum. The celebration is at their Nursery and Garden Center on Penfield Road, and that is just east of Churchill Road and Route 250 on 441. Beautiful nursery. If you haven't been out there, it's one of the destination nurseries you should go visit. And now's a particularly great time to go and visit nurseries like this that have gardens, and the ironweed at Brocolo is just starting to bloom. That's a tall wildflower that has a very dark purple flower. It is a really, really gorgeous plant, and it's a great one for butterflies. It's kind of a nice complement to jopai weed, which also gets big, but it's pink. The ironweed is a lovely purple, really a vibrant purple. So you can see some of that in bloom. They have a pollinators area with their where the ironweed is located, along with milkweed and a bunch of other plants. Good place to go looking for caterpillars. So again, August 30th, 30 years, and Brocolo Tree and Lawn Care, founded by Lori Brocolo, very, very unusual in the landscape and lawn care business and nursery business. There are very, very few nurseries, garden centers, landscape businesses owned by women. And that was even more so 30 years ago. And she's been a real trailblazer in many ways. Not only as in an industry that is really male-dominated, but in the training that she gives the employees, the diversity of the employees, which is unusual. And she has really been a leader in the community as well, and donating a lot of her time and her company's resources to organizations like the Genesee Land Trust, the Finger Lakes Museum, a bunch of other Tinker Nature Center, do a lot of work there. So it's really a fascinating company, and congratulations to Lori on 30 years. That's really an amazing story. So again, 30 years is the 30th of August, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday, August 30th. If you want details, you can look them up on Facebook or online. It's Brocolo, B-R-O-C-C-O-L-O. And you can also email me, Michael at saverlife.com. Fruition Seeds has posted their mid-August what to plant in terms of seeds. There's a lot you can still plant. I like the way that Petra Page Mann, and you can find this at fruitionseeds.com or on their Facebook page, but she also, the categories are direct sow now, sow indoors and transplant outdoors, prepare for some crops, and resist. She says it's a little too late for dwarf peas, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower in zone 5. Rochester zone 6, so you might be able to put those in. Also, wait to sow spinach, chervil, mace until late August for cooler weather. And says right now, it's the final call for full-size beets, carrots, and watermelon radish, kohlrabi, rutabaga, but plenty of time for radishes and turnips. The salad greens, still too hot for classic spinach, but Asian spinach will work. And then heat and cold hardy lettuces. And September may be warm or cold. So what do farmers do and gardeners? You hedge your bets and you do some now and you do some maybe a little bit later. There are some things that she sows indoors this time of the year and transplants out. The lettuce, collards, kale, Swiss chard, spinach, radicchio, fennel. So it's kind of maybe too warm outdoors for them right now. So she sows them indoors and then transplants them out with two sets of true leaves. And by then, it'll be maybe a little bit cooler weather. This coming week's going to be a little bit cooler. Nice to see mainly 70s in the forecast rather than 80s. Some lovely weather. It's really been beautiful weather. But personally, I prefer the 70s to the 80s, maybe even the 60s. But a few nights in the 50s are great for sleeping. And after the heat waves we had this summer, kind of a welcome, at least for me, a welcome relief. Right now, been out doing some deadheading, cutting some things back, tearing out some campanula that's just gone crazy. And it's not one that anyone, you don't want this campanula. It's more of a weed, and now I don't think it's a type you can buy in a garden center. I hope you can't buy this in a garden center. It's really become a little invasive in our yard. So I pulled a lot of it out. I'm going to have to dig some of it out, but I wanted to make sure to get the seed heads so they don't drop, you know, 15,000 more seeds. And that's really no exaggeration in my yard. And I've got enough of it. And each year, in the spring and you know, this time of the year, I get fed up with a few plants. Just, you know, they're bullies in the garden, and there's too much of them. And so once we get some rain, I'm going to do some removal. There's some perennial geraniums, which are lovely, but I just got too many of them. And they're taking over some other gardens. I've got Dutchman's pipe vine that has been coming up all over the place. I had someone email me who said that they kind of felt their garden didn't look very good right now. And, you know, that's kind of normal for midsummer, that the spring and early summer flowers are numerous and beautiful, but as we get into midsummer, things get burned out, and there are perhaps not as many flowers in bloom. And so you need to go visit some of our destination garden centers to see what's in their gardens. So I mentioned Bricolo, also Palmiter's Garden Nursery in Avon, just south of Avon, between Avon and Geneseo. Gorgeous gardens, Sarah's Garden Center, some beautiful gardens to see there. And then some nurseries like Bristol's and Wayside, go and see what they have in their sales areas. They do have some garden areas, but now's the time to go look at other gardens and see what's in bloom and what you can add to your yard. Coneflowers are gorgeous right now. The Russian sage is really beautiful. A couple of perennials that are nice now. My goldenrod's about to bloom. But there are lots of things you could have blooming in your garden right now. You just maybe haven't heard of them or haven't noticed them. You'll see them in these destination garden centers, all within, you know, generally a half hour of Rochester. You really should get to all of them several times a year, even if you live on the east side. You should make sure to get to Sarah's Garden Center. And even if you live, you know, up in Webster near the lake, you should make sure to get the Palmiter's Garden Nursery. These are phenomenal garden centers that we have right here in our backyards. Herd Orchards is got you pick peaches. They have donut peaches right now that are amazing and delicious. And there's like several different kinds of donut peaches. And then blackberries also are stunning right now. So we'll talk a little bit more about some of those fruit that are available in the next hour on For the Love of Food. But if you want to do some picking, this will be a great week to do it with cooler temperatures on the way. Herd Orchards has you pick Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays, and you need to call and make an appointment. Sometimes you can call the same day, probably ideally a day or two in advance, and go out and stock up on some of these things to share with friends and family, and just to kind of connect with where your food comes from. Now, you can buy it directly from the farmer, which is great, and all of our farmers' markets, there's lots of opportunities to do that, but also picking your own is just, other than growing it yourself, the next best thing to connect with where your food comes from. And what these trees look like, and you know how the fruit grows in the tree, or the bramble, blackberry canes. And you get to see the farm while you're out there. Herdorchards.com. You can get more details. And as I posted like a week ago, I said mentioning some of the fruits and blueberries still available that I dearly love Herd Orchards, and I've been going out there for close to 30 years, and just love the way they package things, the displays, the flowers they incorporate into their farm market. It's just a lovely place to visit. So they're open Wednesday through Saturday, not open on Sundays at the farm market. We'll be back with For the Love of Food, Discover the Finger Lakes also this morning, and then tomorrow, the Grapevine here at SavorLife.com. Have a great day.